on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Well, good evening. Good evening, everybody, wherever you may be. Welcome along to an Orient Hour. The difference, we got a football match last night. Something to, football to talk about. How about that? After a long, long break, and it's great to see the studio full with people here too. We've got Darren Burrows in the studio. Christian Wheeler's here. Trevor Singfield, our quiz master extraordinaire, is in the studio for the quiz as well. And we'll be hearing shortly from Danny Macklin and also from Kenny Jackett, who's speaking to Dave Victor after last night's match. But Darren, you went to the match last night, and how did that feel, mate, going back to see a match after such a long time?
Oh, fantastic, Andy. Just the walk up from the station, the familiarity of the area, everything about it. The sun was out, which always helps. And a nice new Italian in the high street that I won't name, but worth a visit. You can't miss it, opposite Coronation Gardens. So I really enjoy my Andy, thank you.
Well, I'll have to join you in that. I love Italian food.
Well, as long as you're paying, Andy, that's fine.
You promised me something the other week. Yeah, terrible, isn't it? Never mind. Never mind. So anyway, I mean, I watched some of the game, and to be honest, got to be quite impressed with some of the Orient lads. They did quite well, the young boys, didn't they?
Yeah, very enjoyable. Yeah, we can't get too carried away. It is what it is. It's a pre-season friendly, isn't it? But we're going to call him Smythe, aren't we? We've decided his name's Smythe, not Smith, because we're easily confused, us Orient fans, and two Smiths. We just can't cope with that, can we? So the smaller one played in the number seven. I thought he looked good. I thought Oggy at right centre half played well. I felt Drinnen had a better second half, if I'm honest. I didn't really sort of, wasn't feeling it in the first half. And then the scholar, I cannot pronounce his lad's name, but a funny story about
have
that.
Have a go, go on.
Mkram.
Right, go on then, okay.
I said I couldn't, but yeah, we had no, we had shirt numbers, but we had no names on the back. And I'm going to confess that I spent the first 70 minutes thinking I was watching Sweeney play, because he doesn't half look like the lad. It was only when Sweeney came on that I was put right. I was a bit embarrassed to admit that, but yeah, no, proper pre-season friendly kind of story, that one, I'm afraid, isn't it?
Yeah, and Craig Clay going in at fullback, he's done that before, Christian, and you're quite happy to see him there, aren't you?
I think he'd do a job there. I think for me, I'd still like an experienced right back to come in and take the number two spot permanently. But I don't think Craig Clay playing there will make any mistakes or look out of place. And I think someone made the point last night, he might struggle to get in that starting lineup in midfield. It looks like, you know, I really thought that Jackett was going to be a 4-4-2 man, but the forwards that he signed and the size and the stature of some of them probably lends itself to a 4-3-3 again. And, you know, for me, Prattley's always going to play. He's club captain. Kemp will probably play in the hole. So that leaves one spot. So as long as Clay, you know, playing right back means that Hector plays centre mid and not Cisse, then I'm happy with it. But I think lower down the leagues, you want players that can play in a number of positions, so it's not going to do us any harm that if he has to play there.
Now, I mean, we didn't score any goals last night, so that's the one minus. Yep. You've got to put the opposition into perspective.
Yep,
so it was a pretty strong West Ham side.
Yep.
So not too worried there, but that's obviously, they did play in Dundee, so that's 3 hours. Is that a worry already to you, that there's a concern that the 3 hours of football and no goals?
Yeah, I think I've been quite vocal in the fact that I've been happy with the other signings. I think 4-3-3 will lend itself to the lad coming in at left back and getting down on the outside and joining in. He looks more of a wing back than he does a full back. He signed a very good experienced centre half in Beckles, a very, very good, you know, probably higher up, could still be playing in League One. The same for Prattley. He's got good stature, will bring good experience to the team. The other forward players, the other three lads that he's brought in would be a worry for me. I think I made a bit of a joke that if you look through their career statistics, probably over the last 5 years, that, you know, someone like Josh Coulson from centre half probably scored more goals than the three of them put together. And, you know, people's argument to that will be, you know, at some point you turn your career around, or, you know, that was Macaulay Bomb. The difference for me was Macaulay Bomb was a 19-year-old boy making his way in the game, still learning, and he needed a platform to maybe come down to go back up.
Could be the system they're playing as well, though.
Of course.
You know, I mean, you're going to be playing, to all intents and purposes, a high-press game with the jacket, aren't you?
Yeah, but, you know, someone that's 26 that hasn't scored a bundle of goals, is he then going to set the world alight and score us 20 goals? I think I put something on our WhatsApp group last night about the statistics for forwards over the last two seasons that have got clubs up, and they're all, you know, 19, 20, 25. You know, the lad at Cambridge last year got over 30 goals. I can't see any of them scoring 30 goals on their own this season. I'd be surprised if they score 30 goals between them. I'd like to be proved wrong, but for me, we're still crying out for an experienced right back. Someone with a bit more pace on either flank again, and a real experienced goal-getter that's going to get us 20 goals to get us up.
OK, well, it finished 0-0 last night. Let's hear Dave Victor talking to Kenny Jackett after the match.
Well, Kenny, thanks for joining us. I'd imagine you were impressed with that performance.
Yeah, we played well, and obviously they're different games, you know, when you have a Premier League side and it's high motivation. It's our first time here at this stadium as a group, and that's big for us. It's big for me as a manager. We want to try to create a good link with our supporters and put on performances and results that they'll be proud of. So the pre-season games are very important to do that, and as I said, you know, today there was quite a lot of positives, and we have to capitalise on those and keep moving forward as we go forward now towards the last few weeks of pre-season.
And there was evidence of some very hard work.
Yeah, there was, and you know, we did feel that we could cause them problems. We had some chances and got into some good positions as well. Unfortunately, couldn't quite finish them. But similarly, just in terms of, you know, box to box, I think we handled the ball quite well and looked quite solid as a side, which is a start.
And it was a demonstration that you've got already a mixture of youth and experience. There's some very promising young players in this Orient squad.
Yeah, there is. And I do think it's a big thing of Orient. They've always been very good at producing players, and you know, I want to be a manager that does that and continues that, because it's a good tradition. It can be very, very good for us, and I do feel in this area of the country that we have to capitalise on that and make sure that we, you know, we promote young players that are good enough, that do show the potential and do want to work hard enough to make their way in the game, and they can obviously help the club to progress.
And one of those young players was the substitute goalkeeper, Sam Sargent. He's two outstanding saves, probably the highlight of the match.
Yeah, he did. He pulled off two fantastic saves as well. He's had a good pre-season, and you know, he'll want to be, you know, pushing on towards senior football now at 23. So I've been pleased with him. His application has been very good. And you know, with Lawrence Vigouroux now, does look quite a strong department for us for the season. And if you're going to be successful, obviously, that's a you know, a key one. You do need to be sound in goal. And with those two guys, I am very confident at the moment.
And the defence looked very well organised, very together. Shadrach Ogi in particular looked composed.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, he's a young player coming in and went out on loan to Aldershot last season and you know, been learning all of the time. And I do feel that, you know, he has some potential, Shadrach, and we'll see how he develops now. Like a lot of the young players, you know, if they can listen and concentrate and work hard, then there's, you know, a good upcoming few years for them.
Paul Smith's got the makings of a fan's favourite.
Yeah, we'd like to think so. We're delighted that, you know, we could bring him here, and, you know, his link up with Aaron Drinan at the right time, we do feel can create goals.
It was interesting. It seemed that the captain's armband went to Dan Happy after Dan Prattley came off.
Yeah, he's looking for probably the next senior one, and at that particular point, there weren't many there, were there? You know, maybe Craig Clay at right back, he just sort of bypassed slightly, but you know, as you say, there is a good blend of youth and experience, but you know, Darren is the ideal captain for the group that we have.
Had he picked up a knock?
No, he hadn't. He was just getting cramp in his, you know, in his calf, so just didn't want it to, you know, carry on and develop into anything like a problem. He's a key player, and you know, for us anyway, although he was happy to carry on, I didn't want it to develop into a muscle strain.
It's another London derby. It could be another strong side. Tottenham in town, of course, for the Justin Edinburgh Trophy.
Yeah, and we're you know, pleased to entertain West Ham, and we're looking forward to Spurs, and we really appreciate those clubs coming to play us in pre-season. It's fantastic for us, you know, it's great for the supporters as they start to come back, but it's also, you know, great for us as a club and for the players as well. They're big days, so we really do appreciate them, you know, sending sides over, and as you say, we're looking forward to Saturday's game.
Could there be a new arrival or two before Saturday?
Yeah, there could, and you know, we're always looking to improve the squad and see if we can bring players in that can supplement the ones that we have. It's obviously a long season once you do get started, and you want to be as strong as possible.
Any particular positions?
Yeah, we're looking all over. You know, we have sort of targeted some areas where, you know, we feel we can improve and also add depth and competition as well. You know, they're important things. But in terms of, you know, where do we need now, I wouldn't say we're done in any area. If we can improve or add to, we do want to do that. It's quite a balance, though, because, you know, we do also want to leave some space for our good young players. But overall, both myself and Martin Ling have enough, you know, experience of making sure we squad plan, and that's going to be vital over the next 2 months.
I imagine they were the trialists that came on in the second half. Any of those particularly impressed?
Yeah, definitely, and they've only had a few days with us, and it's quite difficult to sort of get in, but even so, you know, they'll have another run out in terms of the weekend as well, and we'll assess them by the end of the week to see with, you know, whether that can continue.
It was your first taste as manager at Brisbane Road in front of the supporters. You got the reception you wanted?
Yeah, definitely, and you know, we do feel we want to get a good link between players and supporters, and that's key for a manager. And if we can do that and get a good home record, hopefully that can promote a successful season, which is what we're looking for.
Thanks very much, Kenny.
Thank you.
Good
Cheers.
Luck. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Kenny.
Well, that was Kenny Jackett with our own Dulcet Dave Victor, and he speaks very well, doesn't he, Christian?
He speaks so well. I think that the three of us have all just said that. I think he just exudes confidence. He's just experienced. He knows what he wants. I think he'll just have the dressing room. If he'll have the full respect to that dressing room, and hopefully he'll get the best out of us.
I mean, as we saw with Justin, does it help when the players played at a really high level? As a manager, you know, as a player, you played at the top level. So is he going to just automatically get that extra bit of respect?
I don't know anymore if it matters so much whether you played at the top level. I think it's more the character that you are. I just think it all comes down to respect and holding the dressing room. You know, whatever you say about Justin Edinburgh, he was one of the boys. You know, he loved the laugh, loved that camaraderie, loved the beer. But when it was work time, and he'd turn the switch, and he could be as horrible as he needed to be. And I think, as I said, I haven't made any bones. I think over the last couple of seasons, we've been a bit of a soft touch. And I don't think under Jackett and some of the signings that he's brought in, I don't think we will be a soft touch anymore.
Did you see signs of that last night at all, Darren?
No, Andy, if I'm honest, because it was a pre-season friendly. If anything, you saw a little bit of holding back, which is understandable. I remember Hector sort of pulling out of a challenge and thinking, well, why has he done that? And having to remind myself I was at a pre-season friendly. I think Chris is right. I think that you've got to have that nasty streak, haven't you? I mean, look at just last week on Sunday with the Italians. Kenny will definitely exude that. I agree with Chris on that. Christian on that, sorry. I think that's something that they'll install. And when you sign a player like Prattley, he's going to be clever. He's going to be an old wily fox. He's going to run that midfield, hopefully. So, no, I didn't see it, Andy, but as I say, for good reason, I think we don't want to see anyone getting injured in a pre-season friendly on either side.
Now, just briefly, Darren, obviously we've had bad publicity and good publicity, I suppose, in one way for the club, but bad publicity with the banning of a supporter over, well, we haven't seen the tweet, obviously, but over apparently a racist tweet aimed at one or two of the England footballers over the missed penalties. Do you think the club have acted correctly there? Is the ban sufficient? Do you see that as a good punishment, a right thing to do?
Without knowing the full details, I think so. I think the club have got to take a stance. A society's got to take a stance. And football is part of society. And I think, unfortunately, we're all football lovers. Anyone who listens to this show will be. And unfortunately, we got a bit let down again at the weekend, didn't we?
Yeah.
And so I think our club stepping up and taking a stance is a good thing.
I mean, Christian, I'll put it to Danny, and we'll listen to Danny in just a moment, but I said, I think they've set a precedence for other clubs now, haven't they, under what they've done, and anything other than a lifetime ban now would look weak in comparison to what Orion have done.
Yeah, I think they have, but from my area of work and what I do for a living, I think there has to be more responsibility from the platforms themselves. I work in an area of risk and compliance and fraud and, data on people opening up lines of credit. You can get and stop as much as you want from as little data as possible. You set up a bank account these days, your ID and your email address and all those data points can be verified in seconds. Those platforms can stop that if they wanted to stop that, but they're not doing enough. It should be compulsory now that an online platform is set up with your correct email address, with your correct ID, and that would be the easiest way to stop it.
Right. Lovely. Let's just listen to what Danny had to say earlier. So, Danny, first of all, thanks very much for joining us tonight on the Orient Hour. And how did the test match against West Ham, if we call it a test match, for you guys it was a test match, wasn't it, to see how things went? How did it go?
Yeah, well, even in Andy and even in others in the studio and people listening, really well. It was great to welcome fans back to the Brower Group Stadium. There were players, obviously, people hadn't seen. There were members of staff that hadn't done a match day for a long time or at all. And I'd like to thank the fans for their cooperation. None of us want to be hosting these games with the restrictions that currently exist for this game and Spurs game on Saturday. But I'd like to thank for the compliance, for want of a better word, for all the fans that were in attendance yesterday, patiently queuing for tickets, which we kept the queues to an absolute minimum. And I want to thank everyone for that part in that.
Yeah, so you've got another match, obviously, coming up with Spurs. So are there things that you've got to work on, or are you very happy with how things went and just more of the same against Tottenham?
As we do with every match day, we have a meeting almost first thing the following morning, so everything's fresh and there are always rooms for improvement. There was some elements that we'll adjust, but in the nine out of 10 things, all the boxes were ticked on what we want to do and what was, I think, an enjoyable pre-season friendly and something I think the fans went away with some confidence in there.
Now
in their eyes.
You've gone, as we were talking last season briefly about, you've gone cashless inside the stadium. Now, how did that work last night? Did that all go okay?
Yeah, there was it was one person out of the crowd that had not bought their bank card and actually hadn't bought any money, so I'm not sure how they would have paid them. They were probably expecting me to stick my hand in my pocket, but they've got more cobwebs on it than you can shake a stick at.
Mm.
But the reality is we have done that for a number of reasons. One, to improve the speed of service. Money is very unhygienic and costs us a huge amount of time as well as the actual physical cost of just dispatching, ordering and collecting and counting and having the money collected by the companies that do that. And that's the reason we've done that, and we're in line with a huge amount of venues that are going down the same route, including a number of football clubs that I know that are doing exactly what we started to do from yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, it does trim costs all around, doesn't it, doing something like that, as you say, many, many companies are doing now. Now, that's the good news from this week, if you like. The bad news, and we made, obviously, national headlines, if you like, but it's a very sad affair that you've had to carry out a ban on he's hardly a supporter, is he? But we'll say a fan of Leighton Orient. You made it 3 years, and then you upped it to lifetime. Now, what happened in the meantime to change that ban and make it obviously a lifetime ban in the end?
Yeah, the reality was, if I was obviously down on Sunday night, it was brought to my attention when I woke up in the early hours of Monday morning regarding this. Was a fan up until Sunday night. No fan of Leighton Orient or of any club, I'd like to think, would post anything like the message that unfortunately we had to read. That season card holder now is not welcome at the Brower Group Stadium or any Leighton Orient games for the rest of their life. It's a thing that we didn't want to have to do. We originally installed the three-year ban, A, because we needed to act quickly, and B, we wanted to send a message out very sharpish. But in the meantime, I wanted to speak to the person, which I have done, and I thought it was appropriate to increase that. We also engaged with a number of sort of community figureheads, so to speak, as well as feedback we had from fans and from other authorities, and we thought the only sanction that was deemed appropriate was a lifetime ban. And I think that's been exceptionally well received. Will we be doing that lightly? Absolutely no, and I hope we never have to do it again. You know, we are talking about an exceptionally small minority of society that are showing their true colours, and yeah, clearly as a club and as individuals, we are disgusted by anyone that does that, and very, very disappointed that that season card holder held those views, however briefly, and yeah, hopefully that is one incident of one and not one of many. I'm sure it won't be.
Yeah, I mean, you set a precedence, if you like, and that, when you do that, you've got to stick by it, haven't you? And I think other clubs will be looking at that and saying, well, you know, Orient have done that. If we do anything less, it's going to look weak on our behalf. So if you're trying to, I mean, obviously you have to have freedom of speech, we all know that, but there's a level that you a line, if you like, that you can't cross, and obviously that tweet in particular would have been off the scale for you to have acted in the way that you deemed right and correct on behalf of the club. But I think most fans are backing you 100% on it, Danny, to be honest.
Yeah, there was, and so the feedback we received from fans here last night said exactly that. And yeah, we've got a zero tolerance and approach, and that is very much in place, and we've acted on that. And if that abuse or similar abuse or any discrimination happens here at the stadium or online, that's, you know, from someone who claims to represent / be a fan of this club, we'll do exactly the same. I hope we don't have to. Really hope we don't have to. We refunded that person. There was people saying, why have you given them money back? I'm hoping that they can use that money to educate themselves. I didn't want the money of someone that had posted a racist comment. I didn't want that money in the club. I'm hoping that they will use that to perhaps seek some help, seek some support, and hopefully change their views, not just the short term, but for the long term. So any potential views that any person like that has, that can quickly be eradicated, and they can turn around their stance and their mindset.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit naive when it comes to computers and everything, but I didn't realise if you put anything out, the companies there can just tap in and find out who you are, where you are, and just from the address of the IP address, etc., that it was sent from. So, you know, you're not going to get away with it. Even if you tweet under a pseudonym or something, you're not going to get away with it. So, you know, best behave yourselves, I suppose, is the message. And, of course, you've got things in place in the ground for people who misbehave, haven't you?
You're going to have to ask. I'm going to have to ask you to repeat it again. It went a bit quiet there, Andy.
Did
apologies.
It? All right, that's okay. That's no problem. We're doing this over the phone line, aren't we? So from the studio to you. I said you've got things in place in the ground if people are acting inappropriately for fans to report that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a text number which I believe appears in the programme, as well as various advertisement boards around the stadium. And ultimately, you can speak to a steward. I know sometimes that won't be appropriate. But you know, the best thing is to, if that happens in the moment, is to report it. But if you would prefer to report it afterwards, we will deal the best we can. But clearly, dealing with it right there at the moment is the best way to catch anyone, should anyone be that foolish.
Right. Well, let's talk about the majority, shall we? Let's talk about the majority, because the majority of people are decent fans, and they come along to cheer the team on, regardless of you know, the nationality of the people that are playing, etc. How good was it to actually walk back through the doors yesterday afternoon, knowing that you're going to have a match tonight? You know.
Yeah, there was a bit of a buzz back, and I think it gave us a flavour for what it will be like for Saturday, for the Gillingham match, and when we gear up for the QPR and the Exeter games. And it's, do you know what, this is not a corny or a cliche phrase. Football has been not football without the fans. And yeah, I've been lucky and fortunate enough to be pretty much at every game last season, bar one, alongside Martin, and most games Matt Porter, and we've been the fortunate ones to do that. But home and away, it has not been the same, and I just can't wait to be able to welcome fans back en masse, not just season card holders, but you know, paying spectators. And I think we can enjoy some bumper crowds at the Braga Group Stadium, hopefully throughout the season, seeing, you know, some up tempo, positive, encouraging football.
Great. Well, Danny, thanks for joining us, albeit briefly, on tonight's show. And we wish you all the best. Hope the game on Saturday goes well for you. And let's look forward to a successful season at the Braga Group Stadium.
Thanks, Andy. We look forward to the Superhead. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Well, that was Danny talking to me just before we went on air. He's a busy man tonight. He was on ITV News as well. I think he was on with, I think, Keir Starmer and Boris Johnson. That's a nice trio, isn't it? I wonder what Danny felt amongst those, and then amongst that sort of company. There you go.
I would say a rose between two thorns.
Oh, your check's in the post from Danny, I tell you.
That's my free-season ticket taken care of.
That's a free-season card. And talking of free and things that you might win are free, we've got a competition running, and the Great Orient Quiz, and I think, if I'm pressing all the right buttons, we should have a Mr. James Reynolds on the phone.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Oh, first name terms. Jimmy, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Thanks. Up the O's.
Up the O's indeed. And how's your summer been, mate?
Missed like normal life, but just trying to get through as much as possible and looking forward to getting back down to the O's and doing as many away days as possible, if we're allowed.
Well, hopefully you are. Hopefully you are. Listen, our Quizmaster Supreme is poised right next to a big pink microphone, and it is a big pink microphone as well. Trevor Singfield. So I'm going to pass you over, Jimmy, to Trevor.
Okay, and see
you,
mate.
Hello, Jimmy. You all right?
Trevor, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, all good, thanks, mate. All good.
Good.
Same
good.
Feeling as you about the away games, haven't we?
Yeah, so, up the O's.
So how are you feeling about... How are you feeling about this quiz tonight then? Because there's some low scores and some high scores.
Yeah, if it's about naming years, I'll be all right. Or kits, I'll be all right. Ooh. Players, maybe, but we'll see.
Okay then. Well, just let the listeners know what you've been up to. How long you followed the O's and where do you actually watch from?
So I've been following the O's since I was about... 3-4 years old as I can remember. I'm 46. My dad took me to my first game probably when I was about three or four. There's 14 of us that go, all fathers and sons, all good mates, all drink together and all socialise together. We all sit in the West End.
That's good to hear, like most of us. I like the fathers and son bit. Anyways, So, right, you get a choice of a list of questions. Could you choose one, 9, 10, 11 or 12 for your fate?
I'll go with Super Cuba number 10.
Number 10, okay. Here we go, Jimmy.
Go on.
Right, number one, who knocked us the O's out of the FA Cup in their first season back in the league?
Oh,
it went too long ago, mate. Come on.
Yeah, Maldon and Tiptree.
Yeah, that's correct. In 2015, we lost a second-round FA Cup replay to Scunthorpe. Who were the team that the O's could have faced in the third round? We went up to Scunthorpe on a Tuesday night. Three coaches, a lot.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a very good draw, if I remember rightly. I'm going to say someone like, I don't know, Plymouth or Bristol Rovers or something like that.
Okay, it was Chelsea.
Yeah, okay. Told you it was a bad draw.
who scored the O's goal in the 1-1 away draw at Peterborough in the first leg of the playoff semi-final? Hopefully you weren't drinking too much that day with your family.
Well, it was... right, own goal, but... I thought it was an own goal. It came across Lisby.
No, it was Moses by all accounts.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Number four, name the New Zealander who joined the O's in 1991.
Chris Sorosic.
Correct, well done. How many seasons did Kevin Godfrey play for the Orient? You get a choice here. 10, 11, 12, 13 or 14?
I'm going to go because he was there for quite some time. I'm going to go with 12.
No, it was 11.
Ah.
Oh. Okay, I like this one. What's Frank Clark's middle name? this question was not made up by me, I would have to say. But
it's a bit embarrassing because he actually presented me with a trophy and all years ago at Brisbane Road on the pitch. No, I don't know it.
No, it was Albert.
Right.
Frank Albert Clark. Okay, what two teams did we play league game against at Wembley in 1930?
Oh, yeah, unbeaten and all.
Yeah, I know you weren't good at that time, being 46 years old. But
yeah, I would be guessing something like West Bromwich Albion, maybe someone like...
Two fierce rivals of the O's, these are.
Pardon?
They're two very fierce modern-day rivals of the O's, to give you a clue. West Brom won't
what?
Have them.
Brighton, I don't know. Brighton, West Ham?
No, it was Brentford and Southend. They beat Brentford 3-0 with Southend 3-1. Who is the only Orient player to score 5 goals in a competitive game?
Five what? Five goals?
In a competitive game. Only one player has done it. And it was in the 50s, Jim, so...
In the 50s?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll say Tommy Johnson, I wouldn't know.
No, because it was Ronnie Heckman.
Okay.
Name the two Scottish teams Orient knocked out the Anglo-Scottish Cup run on their way to the final.
No idea.
No idea. Imagine these for away games, Jim. Partick, yeah. Thistle and Aberdeen was the answers.
Right, OK.
We're dreaming them. OK, you said you were good about kits. What was the first season we played in our all-red kit in the 60s?
All-red what?
The all-red kit that they played in the 60s. Had that sort of badge on it with...
All-red. In the 60s?
Yeah, they played the first season, they played an all-red kit.
So that must have been 62 that went up.
No, it was 67-68.
Right.
So, in total, Jim, you scored 2 out of 10.
These questions are a little bit before my time, I reckon.
They're all Fred? A good mix, mate. They're all a good mix, aren't they?
Listen, mate.
My old man would have got 10 out of 10 now.
You did better than Dulcet Dave. I mean, that's the thing. Dulcet got 1 point last week, so he did better than that. And your dad did the same as Doug Harper. He got 2 last week as well. So you've matched Dougie, and most of them have got 3 actually. So you're in the ballpark.
But, yeah, pleasure to take part.
And thanks for taking part, Jimmy. Take care. And we'll see you soon.
Yeah, see you soon, boys.
Tell him, mate, bye. There you go, up the O's, he says. And I think while we wait for the next phoning contestant, we have a contestant in the studio. We'll just pass you the answers, Darren. Don't tell anyone. No, here we go. Right, Darren is up next. And Trevor, back to you.
Okay, Darren, well, you better tell the listeners, because just a little bit of background. Most of us know what you get up to and where you watch the O's.
Bit of background, Trevor. Well, I started watching them in 79. Don't ask me who my first game was against, because I can't remember. I sit in the West End, Trev, within a distance of the dugout. So there you go.
You can give Kenny some advice this
year. I don't think Kenny needs advice from me, Trev, but yeah.
Okay, so you choose a list, please. 9, 11 or 12?
Let's go with number 9.
Okay. Right, we start off with, how many games did Orient lose in the 1920 season, which was cut short due to COVID-19?
The 1920 season cut short. Did we lose 12?
Oh, unlucky, 14. Against which team did the wall famously come down in an away FA Cup tie in 1994?
Tiverton.
Yes, correct. Which player put the O's 2-1 up in the playoff final against Blackpool in 2001?
Tate scored the first, didn't he? The second, oh gosh. Trevor. The second, Tate the first, the second was... No, I don't know, Trevor.
Scott Howe. Oh. John Chidozie was transferred for £600,000 to which club in 1981?
Notts County.
Correct. What number shirt did Jonathan Tuhue wear during the 2010-11 season? You get a choice. Did he wear number 9, 11, 15 or 18?
I think it was 18.
Correct. Who managed the club between July 1971 and August 1977?
Jimmy Bloomfield.
No, it was George Pepe.
Oh.
Pecci even, not Pepe. Who was elected club chairman at the start of the 1949-50 season?
Club chairman, 49-50 season. Lou Grade?
The big character, Harry Zussman. Oh. How many goals in total did Tommy Johnson score for the O's in the FA Cup? You get a choice. Did he score 2, 4, 6, 8 or 10?
I would say 10.
He actually scored two, which is incredible, considering he's the record goal scorer, wasn't he? Okay, you've got a question on the Anglo-Scottish Cup as well. What was the last season we participated in the Anglo-Scottish Cup?
79.
No, it was 1980-81. Right, last one for you, Darren. Against which club did we play our only ever two league games against in the 1966-67 season?
66-67, only ever two league games.
Yeah, we've played one, that we've only ever played them. They're no longer a football club. They were probably demoted out of the league, whatever it was, not re-elected or something in them days.
But that...
be a good away game. I'm giving too much away now.
I can only think of Barrow.
No, it was their close neighbours, Workington. You have now joined the club on 3 out of 10. So
that's not bad.
Not bad at all. Not bad at all. Well done, Dan.
Thanks.
That's a lot better than most, actually. I mean, there's quite a few on 3 now, isn't there?
Definitely.
How many did we get on 3? Do we know?
Charlie Hasler, Tony Bastow, Darren, and did Jim get 3?
Jimmy got 2.
There's 3 of them on 3. I mean, nobody's broken to that talk 4 yet. We've got Jamie on 7, Ian Richardson 6, Julian on 5, and Trevor Joel on 4.
All right, well, we just...
Jamie get 7.
He was good, yeah.
Very?
Yeah, very good, yeah.
And that was the first show, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah, he was. They were good contestants. They was pretty hard, questions as well.
Are you going to... I'll tell you what, and this is not a fix. I'll have a go. Go on, because we've been let down by one of their phone call people. We've got Steve ringing in a little while, and that means we've got a set of questions going begging, and I might as well embarrass myself as badly as anybody else. I might get naught. You know, Dave Vixie will be on the floor. Thank God he's got naught. You know, because I said to Dave, I said, well, you know, us people who've commentated on football, we normally have a sieve for a brain, and as soon as the match is finished, you forget and move on to the next one. So, Trevor, what have I got a choice between?
Well, this is a good moment, Andy. You've really put yourself under pressure here, haven't you? So you've got a choice of number 11 or 12.
Right. Well, as I'm no longer in the first team at the Orient, I'll go for the substitutes number 12.
Okay, Andy, you're number 12.
Yeah, go on. There we go. Here we go.
Right. How many league games did the Orient play in the 2019-20 season, which was cut short due to COVID?
Oh, God, 35.
You're 1 out of 36.
I nearly said that. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah, you would have commentated on this game, maybe. After our
famous, means nothing, I could tell you.
Very true. After our famous 4-1 win away at Portsmouth in the FA Cup in 2002, we lost our next game 6-1 the following Saturday in true Orient style against which team?
Was it Huddersfield?
No, it was Carlisle.
Oh.
Who scored Orient's 88th minute goal in the 2-1 playoff semi-final victory against Peterborough in 2014?
Was it Coxey?
No, it's Dagnall.
Dagnall, I was just going to say that. I was going to say Dagnall, and then I thought, was it Cox? I can't remember. Never mind.
Pressure's building.
I know.
You're not off the mark yet.
Oh, I'm on naught. If I get naught, it's naught. It'll go down in as the worst round of the competition. Okay.
When Orient sold Chris Bart-Williams to Sheffield Wednesday in 1991, which player came to the O's from Hillsborough in part exchange?
Oh, my God.
You were getting them all right when you were scribbling them down with everybody else's on the programme.
Trying to think. You know, Darren's mouthing the answer and I can't lip read. I'm sorry, Darren. Thanks for the help, though. I don't know. Go on.
It was, as Darren said, Chris Turner.
Was it Chris Turner, the goalie? Oh, dear. Right.
He's been on the show as well. So.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah, very good guest.
He was a good guest, yeah. It doesn't mean a thing. I'm still on naught. Come on.
Okay, number 5, halfway. What number shirt did Charlie Daniels wear during the 2010-11 season? You get a choice, so you've got one in 4 chance here, Andy. 3, 6, 8 or 13?
Oh, he was a fullback, wasn't he? 3?
No, he played unlucky for some 13.
Did he? Oh, damn. Never mind.
Number 6. Who managed the club between October 1981 and May 1983?
Ken Knighton.
Yes.
Hooray.
Watch out, Dulcet.
Dulcet, Dave and me have got the same now. Go on.
Okay, number seven. Which ground did the O's play at between 1930 and 1937?
Lee Bridge Road.
Yep, you're flying.
Oh, on a roll now. Two out of two.
Okay, against which club did Kevin Campbell score his first goal for the O's during his loan spell in 1989 in an away 2-1 defeat?
Mm.
It was on a Friday night. I remember it well, I think.
Crew Alexandra?
Well done.
Mm.
How many times did Orient enter the Anglo-Scottish Cup?
Five.
It was four.
Oh, poo.
Well, I think you may be able to get this one.
Go on.
Your experience. What was the price of our home programme in our...
You rotter. How old do you think I am? Go on. Well, yeah, go on.
What was the price of our home programme in our promotion winning season in 1969-70? And then lovely little small programmes.
It's either sixpence or shilling, I suppose. Sixpence.
What was that in old money? Can you remember?
2.5p. New money, in 2.5p in new money, sixpence old money, 6D.
6D, correct. Well done. Yeah. So there you go, Andy. You have, after a terrible start, I've got 4 out of 10.
Oh, it's not bad.
Not bad at
I
all.
Did better than a lot of them. I did, you know, even with Darren trying to lip read the answers to me, I was hopeless, wasn't I? So 4 out of 10, at least I'm not bottom of the pile. Dave, I'm not bottom of the pile, but there you go. So we've got hopefully one more ringing in pretty shortly. Hopefully we'll have Stevie Nussbaum on the phone in not too distant future. But let's just drift our mind to current things. And the new signings, Christian, any of those that you're really excited about?
Yeah, Prattley for me, just because the career he's had. And you can just tell the way that he spoke after the game last night that he's going to be a real leader in the dressing room. And I think the couple of lads that we've got coming through, Satorio, Cipriano, the two first-year pros that we've got that all show a lot of promise. You know, Sweeney, Ogie, they'll really learn a lot from him. I think he'll be a big character in the dressing room.
Yeah. Do you think the club's going to rely on loans now, or do you think there'll still be some more signings coming in?
No, I think there'll still be some signings. I think the bench last night, there's a lot of trialists there. They'll still be looking at people. But yeah, you'd like to think with Kenny Jackett's, you know, little black book and the relationships that we've built up over the last few years with some London clubs that, you know, there'll be some loans coming in. So I think it'll be a mixture of both. You want to get as many people in the building as possible, but it'll be a balancing act between that and obviously budget. So,
yeah. I mean, for players that are looking for a club, I mean, it's quite an appealing deal now, isn't it?
I think the last couple of years is definitely a club on the up. You've only got to see the season tickets sold already. There's a good feel about the place. Sponsorship deal, a lot of news and good press over the last couple of years. I think, you know, if you're looking at other clubs in and around this area, then yeah, it's a you know, good proposition for someone, and you've only got to look at some of the boys that come out on loan last year. You know, they played an awful lot of games, got good exposure. So yeah, you know, I think with a couple of more experienced heads, we'll be okay. As I say, my one worry is just that will we score enough goals to win games rather than draw?
Yeah, so you're looking to strengthen up front still, and you're not overly convinced about fullback.
As I say, I don't think that there's a problem playing Craig Clay there, but you know, looking at a couple of boys that they had on trial, they're obviously still looking for an experienced fullback to play there, especially if they're going to blood Sweeney and Ogie in and around that group, then they'll probably want a, you know, experienced head amongst them.
Yeah. Darren, your view on signings, do you think that, what positions would you still say need strengthening?
Oh, definitely right back. I'm pretty much with Christian on most of his views, really. I'm not as concerned about a forward line, if I'm honest, but I would like to have seen one perhaps with a bit more pedigree and goals for in the goals for column. But I do like the look of young Smythe. I'm looking forward to seeing more of Big Smith.
Yeah. And so, like I said to Darren about... I said to Chris about
loan signings. He's saying he thinks more full-time signings will come in. Like, do you agree with that?
I think we'll see more. I think Kenny intimated that. But I do think that the loan market, I think Cheltenham had five Andy in the team that won promotion regularly. So I think good managers will make good use of the loan market. And I think repairing our relationship, for example, with West Ham did help last season, didn't it? So I think that could be useful. I think there was a few lads playing for them last night that, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, well, will we see one or two of those in an O shirt? Mm. Forgive me, I don't remember the lad's name, but if anyone does, he's playing 75. So I don't think he's going to feature too much on O Trophy. I did think that myself.
Okay, well, thank you, Darren. And we've been saved by the bell. A big flashing light goes off in front of me, and we say happy birthday today. I think it's 7th birthday to the Orient Outlook podcast, and one of the legendary duo is on the line, Steve Nussbaum. Evening, Steve.
Lovely to hear your lovely tones, Mr. Gilson. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. I'm very well, and thank you for joining us and putting your neck on the... I just did the round, and I did appallingly, but I managed to get four in the end. But it's not the easiest quiz, but thanks for putting your head on the block here, Steve.
There's no way I'm going to get 4 out of 10 just to manage expectation. I'll take a two. I was listening to your episode last week, and I think the most I got in a single round was 3 on Dave Victor's round, and 2 of those were a fluke. So I'll try my best.
Well, I think Howard Gould got in touch, and he said that he got 10 in total from the 40 questions, but I said to him that was more than the entire lot of them put together. He got more points than all of them. But, yeah, so happy birthday, and it's quite an achievement, 7 years of podcasting, Steve, and you still got the enthusiasm for it. That's the good news.
Absolutely. You know, me and Paul, we go back a long way. When we first had the idea of the Outlook podcast, we thought we'd struggle to fill, you know, a fortnightly slot at half an hour. And, you know, here we are 7 years later, a promotion, 2 relegations, a takeover, you know, one of the biggest tragedies in football. And so much has happened in the 7 years. It's been a pleasure to bring Orient fans closer to the club, which is what our aim's always been. And we're lucky enough to have a great relationship with the club, but at the same time remain completely unofficial, which I think is the best way to be, because, you know, we engage with the fans and be critical. We have to be critical, but at the same time not be critical for the sake of it. And I think, you know, just looking at our social feeds today, especially on Twitter, I've got people and followers wishing us happy birthday who we've still never met, and followers from New Zealand and the States wishing us a happy birthday, which we could never have dreamed of when we started. So it's all very humbling, and we're looking forward to, you know, hopefully a very successful season on the pitch under Kenny Jackett.
Yeah, hopefully. But I mean, I think the secret is, I think, obvious success is that you're genuinely friends. So that warmth towards each other, that comes across to the listener, which is always good, you know. And the fact that you were already friends going into it. I mean, here we've had to do a situation where we've created friendships, but it wasn't, you know, it was individuals coming together to create a programme that we've created friendships along the way. But with you and Paul, of course, it was already there. That relationship was already there. And I think that's the secret behind its longevity and its success.
Yeah, it's very natural with me and Paul. I've been lucky enough to know the bearded legend, as I call him, since we're about 8 years old. So, you know, we've done the speeches to each other at our bar mitzvahs when we were 13 years old, which is what best friends do for each other. You know, we've been there during each other's marriages and kids being born, and we're very close. So a lot of the time I know what he'll say before he's about to say it, and vice versa. And he thinks differently to me about football. He comes at it from a slightly different angle, which I think helps, because we both make slightly different points but get where both the other one is coming from. So it works fairly well. I mean, when we started the podcast, we had a third person in mind, and he never materialised. But I think it's actually worked out to our benefit as a duo, and I think that's the way it'll always stay. You know, we have guests on who join us for episodes or interviews, but I think the friendship that me and Paul have, it works really well.
That's the foundation of the show, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he's a great friend, and we both work very hard. It might sound very natural on a Sunday, which is what our aim always is, but there's a lot of work that goes in behind the scenes in terms of planning, you know, making sure we haven't missed anything, and then getting the best tweet to the week into you know, the plan, so we don't miss anything. There's a lot of work that goes into it. It's not as easy as what I think some people make out. And likewise for yourself, Andy, you've done a great job over the last
Right. Thanks, you. That's enough of the mutual love. What I will say is, quickly, because I got past the Trevor, only got 9.5 minutes left of the show, so we're going to have to get through your questions. But I will say, Steve, two of the listeners have started an absolutely fantastic podcast called The Fantastival, where people select their five acts, isn't it, Steve, to go to a fantasy music festival. And it's great. It's great listening, and people's love of music and stories behind the songs that, for them, it just makes the most entertaining hour. So if you get a chance to listen to the Fantastival podcast, it's an absolute winner, and I hope it gets onto radio, Steve, because it deserves to.
Thank you very much, Mr. Gilson.
And I'm going to pass you over, mate. I'm sorry to cut you short, but I'm going to pass you over to Trevor because we're running out of time. So over to Trevor, our quizmaster extraordinaire.
Hello, Steve. Good evening. And obviously, you don't need much of an introduction to our listeners because everybody knows you. So after your 7 years of success, so you've been left with list 11. So should we get straight into the quiz?
Let's do it.
Okay, right. You've got to beat Andy Gilson's 4. I think you will, looking at this is half-decent list of questions. Okay, so who was our leading scorer in the cut-short 2019-20 season?
I should get that, but I'm having a mind blank. Who was our top scorer in that season? Who would that have been? I don't think it was Connor. I think Connor got injured quite early, and I think Angle was doing okay, but his season got cut short. I don't think it's an obvious one, is it? I'm going to have to go for Connor or Angle.
It was Josh Wright with 8.
Josh Wright, of course it was.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
Okay.
Right, done me, yeah.
Which team did we defeat 6-1 in the FA Cup in 2015?
6-1 in the FA Cup 2015. I should know this because I was probably there.
Rare.
6-1. Oh, it was a non-league team, wasn't it?
Yep.
I think he scored. Mark, we scored his only goal. Who was that? I can't think of him. I'm going to have to pass. I know the game and I can remember it clearly, but...
It was Staines Town.
Okay, fair enough. 0-2. Great start.
Who scored Orient's goals versus Hull City in the 2001 playoff semi-final? Two players we need.
One was Matt Lockwood.
Yep.
In the home game. Steve Watts.
Yep. That's correct. Kevin Nugent was sold to which club in March 1993?
Swansea.
It was Plymouth Argyle.
Shocker.
Okay, how many seasons in total did Peter Allen play for the Orient? You get a choice of 10, 11, 12, 13 or 14.
Oh, that's 5. Let's go Peter Allen. 11?
He played 13 seasons. Okay, who was our manager when we won promotion to the First Division in 1962?
I should know this, but the 60s always caused me issues. Chamberlain, I'm
going
to have to pass on that one.
Johnny Carey. Okay, if the 60s was a problem, 1919 could be. Three brothers all appeared for the O's together in 12 league games in the 1919-20 season. What was their surname?
Not an absolute Scooby. Let's go for Marsh.
No, it was Tonner. Three brothers, James, John and Samuel. Quite famous. Not many clubs have ever had that. Okay, number 8. Who was our leading goal scorer with 12 goals in the 1991-92 season?
91-92. I'm going to pull a name out of thin air. I hope I'm right. It's definitely not Mark Cooper, because Mark Cooper was slightly before that. And I don't think it's Colin West. I think West was after that. I'm going to go for Andy Jones.
It was Kevin Nugent. You were... Right,
Kevin Nugent has done me in this
Okay. What was the score in the second leg of our Anglo-Scottish Cup final against Nottingham Forest in 1976?
Got to go to 1-1?
No, the 1-1 was the home game. We actually got absolutely plastered 4-0 there, losing 5-1 on aggregate in good Orient style. Okay, come on. Don't go there with Dulcet, Dave. You've got to get this.
Yeah.
For how many seasons did the O's produce the very small programme with a plain white cover at the end of the 1960s?
How many seasons?
Yeah.
Let's go for 2.
It was 3 you scored. 1 out of 10. You're propping up the league table with Dave Victor. So,
Steve. Would you want to talk us through it?
Shocking. Shocking. I mean, I'm disappointed I didn't get Nugent. I can always picture Nugent in a Swansea top. That's why I went for Nugent and Swansea.
You had some stinkers there, mate. You had some stinkers. I've got to say that. The only one I thought you probably would have got was Carey with the 62 one. But other than that, they were pretty stinky questions. And Trevor, you know, that was mean. I mean, Steve's our friend.
You know what? I take my hat off there. You've got a great quiz there, and there's not many people listening who will get a straight 10 out of 10 in any round. Somewhere there.
Nobody. I don't think even the bloke who wrote it got 10 out of 10. And Martin Strong's the one to blame for that. I tell you, he's Strongo's done a good job with these, and Trevor's chipped in with a few questions of his own as well. And and I think we're taking a break from it next week, and then we've got the one more round, and then the finals. So, and they're playing for a framed poster of the 1970 England squad, but something a bit different. But anyway, Steve, we'll let you get on with your dinner, and thanks very much for joining us. And happy birthday once again, and all the best to your partner in crime, Paul Levy, and no doubt we'll see you in the not-too-distant future.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Mr. Gilson, and keep up the great work with the Orient Hour.
Ta-ta, mate.
Thanks.
Well, that was Steve. We've all done abysmally, myself, Dave, Victor, Steve. I think we all better find something else to do with our time. We don't remember anything, do we? Anyway, it's just time for me to say thank you, Trevor. Thank you, Christian, for your time and coming in tonight. And thank you, Darren. And thank you most of all to all of you for listening. We'll catch you next week, 7 p.m, Phoenix 98 FM. Ta-ta.
This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. There's flats in every corner of the ground. You can get your kids in just £5, get an Orient here. It's only a quid, get a cup of tea, but there ain't no lids, cause it's an arts and pop. Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna wear rocking all over the world again. We had an FA Cup 78. We had John Sitter, that is most irate. We were club reviver, but we don't care. We had checkered shirts, we had Tate's hair. I remember the moment that Lee Steele scored. I remember it's done on the message board. I remember the pleasure, I remember the pain, and I want to hear rocking all over the world again. This ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. This is ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world. Till the end, if I thought you'd score, but I haven't seen a goal in God knows when, and I wanna hear rocking all over the world again. Cause this ain't Upton Park, it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you're gonna hear rocking all over the world again. Cause this ain't it's Brisbane Road, it ain't White Hart Lane. That's a wrong postcode, it ain't Stamford Bridge. This is E10, and you go, we're rocking all over the world again.
On the hour, across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM News.